This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
If you have done something wrong in your past, today, this morning, on your way home, whatever, and you're sorry, you don't want to be like that, so you've said to God, I'm sorry, I receive your forgiveness, and I'm repentant, I don't want to live like that anymore, God, I want to turn away from it, help me. There's God being perfect, and here I am now, I'm born again, and I got these little rumblings down in here that, you know, I want to change. I'm starting to get convicted about things that I used to not get convicted about at all. And so the Holy Spirit's dealing with me, and he's, you know, calling me to him and calling me to him. And it's going to be this whole lifetime thing. So now if I'm not careful, what I start doing is trying to change. You say, well, isn't that what you're telling us to do? No, what I'm saying to do is to yield. Yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't change myself, but I can study the Word. I can't change myself, but I can hang out with some people that might have a good influence on my life. Amen. I can't change myself, but I can want to change, and I can pray that God will change me. I can depend on His grace. Because here's the thing, the minute that we start trying to do what God has asked us to do without asking Him to help us, now He's offended. Nope, you're not going to do it without me. It's either going to be me or you, but it's not going to be both of us. So when I'm telling you today to change, please don't go home and try. Go home and believe. Amen? Go home and spend more time with God. Hang on the vine. Have you ever seen an apple tree or some kind of a fruit tree going around? No, the fruit comes out on the branches, and all the branches do is hang on to the vine. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't put out any effort, but it's not a fleshly effort. It's an effort in the power of the Holy Ghost. And every step of the way, I'm saying, God, I need you. That way, then we know that God gets the credit. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace will himself complete you and make you what you ought to be. Well, why do I have to suffer first for a little while? Why in the world is that there? And this is what I feel like God has shown me about that scripture. When we ask God to deliver us from something, even though it's His will and the desire to change came from Him, so I'm really just praying His built will back to Him, why doesn't it happen right away? Because sometimes God wants to give us a period of time to just suffer. That's the word the Bible uses. So when we do change, we know 100% that it was God. Amen? And you know, here's the good news. Whatever yet needs to be done when Christ appears, the Bible says that when He appears, we will all be changed in a moment of time. So whatever's left to be done will be changed in that moment, and we'll become just like Him. Now, follow the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. He teaches us to be who we are. So let me just tell you who you are. You are a holy, righteous, anointed, completely forgiven, powerful son or daughter of the Most High, magnificent God of all. That's who you are. Now, whoo, hallelujah. And how different that is when I used to get up in the morning. Before I'd ever even get out of bed, the devil was already rehearsing every mistake I made the day before and threatening me that I was surely going to do it again today. So you get up. Life is so hard. Oh, God, what's wrong with me? I just don't know if I can go on like this anymore. And then if anybody would, like if Dave would even try to, you know, correct me about something, I'd be, that's right, it's all me. Everything's my fault. I'm the worst person in the universe. Anybody recognize that? That's why you're laughing. But now I get up in the morning and I'm like, I'm God's daughter. He loves me. He's made me right with him. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. I'm going to have a great day. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He feeds us a constant stream of lies about our faults, our mistakes, our weaknesses, and our sins. And we must resist him, not assist him, by agreeing with him. Every time we agree with the devil, we're assisting him. And when we agree with God, we're resisting him. The whole point in learning what's in here is to believe it when you're out on your own. So here's the thing. If you have done something wrong in your past, today, this morning, on your way home, whatever, and you're sorry, you don't want to be like that, so you've said to God, I'm sorry, I receive your forgiveness, and I'm repentant, I don't want to live like that anymore, God, I want to turn away from it. Help me. Help me. I say sometimes, God, tie me to the altar and don't let me go until you get your way in my life. Okay, so you have a choice now to either go home and apply what I'm telling you here today, and when the accuser of the brethren comes to visit you and you start to, because here's what he'll say. Yeah, well, it did you a lot of good to go to that seminar. You're just wasting your time. You've been in church 20 years and you're still just the dumbest thing on the block. You don't even act like you're saved. And then maybe you get really bad and you lose your temper with your family right after coming home from this. And then they'll tell you, well, that sure did you a lot of good. Now, you just, unless you know who you are in Christ, you just try to crawl out from under that one. Amen? And that's when you need to just own up to it. You just need to say, you know what, you're right, I'm not acting right, and I'm sorry, it's my fault, I take responsibility. That's the facing the truth that I said last night. See, you don't get defensive. Yeah, well, you don't do everything right yourself. Or, if you would have cleaned this house up like I told you to, then I wouldn't have walked in here and got mad. Come on, some of you have already planned your failure. You're already thinking, if I go home and that house is in a mess and they didn't do what I told them to, boy, am I going to be upset. You need to plan to be sweet. Come on. So you own up to it. You know what, guys, you're right. I'm sorry. I did learn a lot this weekend, and you are going to see changes in me, but I need you to be patient with me while I'm growing. People respect you when you do that. They respect you. There's nothing that I despise worse than trying to deal with somebody who every time you try to say anything about they made a mistake or they didn't do this right or they need to change something, they get defensive. It's so awesome just to hear somebody say, you know what, you're right, forgive me, pray for me that I'll do that better in the future. Now, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. It's so interesting to me, the people that God chooses. How could Paul ever have gotten over feeling guilty? Somebody mentioned this morning, it's possible that he was teaching the children of people that he helped arrange for their murder. Try to get over that. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Now, we're very familiar with verses 11 through, say, 14. That if possible, I might attain to this spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while I'm in the body. Not that I've already attained this or have been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and make my own that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Verse 13, I do not consider it my own, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and pressing toward those things that are ahead. So Paul said there was a pressing. And to press literally means to press against the pressure. When the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd, there was a pressure trying to keep her from getting to Jesus. And so she just had like this holy determination, nobody's going to keep me from getting to Jesus. And that's the way that we need to be. It's like when the devil comes against you with guilt and you already know, I'm forgiven for this. God has forgiven me. He's forgotten it. You need to be able to say, this is a lie from Satan. And now listen to what I'm going to say, because this is very important for you to go home and do better in this. Just because I feel guilty doesn't mean I am guilty. Am I going to believe my feelings, or am I going to believe the Word of God? You know, I found out that I can be confident when I don't feel confident. You know, you wouldn't know it, but Thursday night when I was up here, I didn't feel as confident as I do today. But I could still be confident because I know who I am in Christ, and I know that He's always with me. And so sometimes I feel more anointed than other times, but I believe that I'm always anointed and always called to do what I'm doing. So I ask you again, are we going to serve and bow down to our feelings and let them rule us? If we do that, Satan is just going to have a heyday with us. So you go home and you feel guilty. That's when you open your mouth and say out loud, okay, I feel guilty, but I'm not, because I've already talked to God about this and I am forgiven, completely and totally forgiven. You're not going to steal my peace. Devil, you're a liar. You're the accuser of the brethren. But I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and by testifying to the Word of God. Talk back to the devil. I don't think I ever do a full seminar that somewhere in it I don't talk to people about confessing the Word of God out loud. That's how much I believe in the power of doing that. Calling those things that be not as though they are. I don't care how I feel. This is what I know. Amen? I may not feel forgiven, but I know that I'm forgiven. I may not feel loved, but I know that I am loved. And nobody can fight this fight for you. It's called fighting the good fight of faith. I can teach you, I can give you the scriptures, but honestly, if this has been a real hang up in your life, I am not going to tell you that I can wave some prayer wand over you today and send you home and you'll never have to fight this guilt again. I can tell you that eventually you can get to the point where it's not a problem in your life. But let me tell you something. We cannot run from Goliath and ever defeat him. David didn't run away from Goliath. The Bible says he ran quickly toward the battle line. David was anointed to be king 20 years before he wore the crown. And one of the things that he had to go through during that period of time was he had to become a giant killer. And if you want to wear the crown of the fullness of what God has for you in your life, and I want to wear the crown of the fullness of what God has for me, then I have to not be afraid of the devil. I have to learn how to stand up to him. I need to know the word. And when the enemy lies to me, I need to open my mouth and say, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it looks like. This is what I know. I'm excited. But now, before Paul said, one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind, there's a couple of other things that he says that allows him to come to the point where he can say, I don't live with guilt and condemnation. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not worried about it. How awesome is that? I can know that I'm not where I need to be, but I don't have to be condemned about it because I know my heart, and I know that by this time next year, I will be better than I am right now. I still won't have arrived, but you just watch and see. When I come back here next year, I'll be nicer than I am this year. And you will be too. But if you read this in context, he starts in verse 9 in chapter 3, and he says, verse 9 in chapter 3, and he says, that I might be found and known as being in him, not having any righteousness of my own, but only that righteousness which he gives and ascribes. So he starts out saying, I must know that I'm made right with God. It's not my righteousness, it's not my ability to behave right, but I have his righteousness. Now, we're on our way to defeating guilt, but I'm telling you, before you get there, you got to know that you've been made right with God. You got to know who you are before your do will ever change. Your who comes before your do. And religion tells us if you do this, then you'll be acceptable. But the Bible says you are acceptable. You're made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now you can go out and gradually learn how to do the right thing. Are you there? So that means somebody born again last night is just as righteous as I am after 40 years of teaching the Word of God. Now, you don't think the devil's going to let you in on that. Now, your behavior probably isn't quite as good as mine. And mine probably isn't as good as somebody else's in here who's maybe been saved 50 years. I don't know. But the good news is we're not made acceptable to God based on what we do. We're made acceptable to God first. And if we understand what he's done for us, if we can see the beauty of the grace of God and what he's done in our lives, and we can understand how much he loves us, we get so excited that we cannot possibly want to do anything but pursue God and pursue his will and pursue his holiness and his righteousness and spend the rest of our lives trying to glorify him by being everything he wants us to be. Come on. And we can never properly love God if we're doing it to get something. How can you get what you've already got? Everything already belongs to you. Everything that God's got is yours. Amen? Everything. Everything. You know, I didn't have any money when I married Dave, but when I married Dave, he had a little money, so all of a sudden I had money. When I married Dave, I didn't have a car, but he had a car. I mean, a nice car. And so all of a sudden, I had a car. Woo. But you know what? I mean, I could go out and sign his name after we got married. And I had the same authority that he had with that name. But you know what? I didn't get any of that while we were dating. Are you dating Jesus on Sunday morning? Or are you married? Have you said that for better or worse in sickness and health till death do us part? I'm in, Jesus. I'm all in. And I'm not backing out. I know you love me. I know what you've done for me. You've forgiven my sins. You died for me. You paid the price for my sins. You've let me partake of your Holy Spirit. You live on the inside of me, and I'm sure not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm okay, and I'm on my way. And there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, what about the part that says, who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh? Because that's there in Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not in the flesh. So then right away we can think, well, that's my problem. Well, But what that actually is referring to is when you do make mistakes, you can follow the Spirit in solving them, or you can follow the flesh in solving them. So if I follow the Spirit, He shows me the truth that I'm already forgiven and that there's no condemnation, that I can shake it off and just move on. But if I follow the flesh, now I think I made a mistake and I have to pay. And so the way I pay is feeling bad about myself. You may have heard me tell this story, but it was such an eye-opener for me. Many, many, many years ago, I remember this. I can see it just like it's just now happening. I was feeling guilty about something. I don't remember what. It didn't matter because I felt guilty all the time. My guilt was like a little burden, a little sack, heavy sack that I carried around with me everywhere that I went. And I think it even makes you walk a little bit, you know, different. And so I remember I was going to a Target store, and I parked way out in the back of the parking lot, and it wasn't because my car needed not get hit. It was already 20 years old. I don't know what my deal was. I think I just wanted to kind of pitifully walk across the parking lot and just have a little more time to feel bad about myself before I went into the store. Amen? And God began to deal with me, and this was what came into my spirit. How do you plan to get over this mistake you've made? Man, I knew the answer. Well, I'll just receive the sacrifice that you made for me when you died on Calvary. And then I heard this, and when did you plan to do that? And it was like I became aware that I had this system that I had built, that how long I felt guilty was determined by how big I thought the sin was. My sins were kind of like small, medium, and large. You know, if it was a big one, I might be on a 2 or 3 week trip. Medium sins, you know, a week or so. Small ones, maybe a few days. And so I thought, oh, just being honest with God, probably in a few days. And then this was what He made me aware of. Well, if that sacrifice is going to be good in 3 days, why isn't it good right now? And then so help me, this is what God showed me. He said, okay, would you do me a favor? Would you just go ahead and receive my forgiveness today, right now? Because frankly, I need you. I have a lot for you to do. I'm depending on you, and you are no good to me in this condition. Well, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse us and try to make us feel guilty. But I want to encourage you to know who you are in Christ, understand you're forgiven, and turn to God for help. They were offering you my book called Healing the Soul of a Woman. This is just like an all-encompassing prescription for healing the things that hurt us on the inside. God wants you to feel good about yourself. He wants you to have confidence. He wants you to know you don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to be full of shame. You don't have to feel guilty all the time. God has something wonderful for you to do in your life, but your soul needs to be healed in order to do that. So we're offering you this book today for your gift to the ministry of any amount, and all that comes in from the proceeds of the sale of the book is going to go to our Project Girl, and that's where we are helping girls and women who have been marginalized and hurt, who've been sexually abused, sex trafficked. They don't have food, they don't have education, they're being beaten. There's so many women that are hurting, and I believe that the more we reach out to help them, the more we're going to be healed ourselves. So thank you for helping us not only work in your life, but in the lives of all these people around the globe that are hurting so badly. Thank you. It's very painful and difficult to go through life with a wounded soul. I know because for years I lived that way due to being sexually abused by my father when I was a young child. But I learned that God could heal even my deepest hurts if I would just open my heart up and let Him in. And in my new book called Healing the Soul of a Woman, you too can discover how to allow God into those wounded places in your life. You know, I believe that God wants to do a miracle for you, and He wants to restore your soul. And I'm really asking you not to spend another year of your life in the same kind of misery that maybe you've been in the past. God has a brand new beginning for you, and you do not have to spend the rest of your life hurting.
Healing the Soul of a Woman, new from Joyce Meyer. Call 1-800-727-9673 or go to joycemeyer.org.
Birthed out of Joyce's passion to see young women healed and restored just as she has been, Project Girl is an initiative of Joyce Meyer Ministries' outreach arm, Hand of Hope, to guide, restore, and love women and girls across the globe into wholeness. In a world where far too many girls are told they aren't worthy of basic human rights like education, respect, and life, where being a girl can mean living in unbearable conditions, enduring abuse and violent crime, Project Girl works to change the reality for as many as possible and to offer hope. So what does Project Girl mean to you? Your gift today will let each one of these and thousands more women and girls here in the United States and around the world understand how truly precious they are to God.
Make plans now to spend your Friday and Saturday with Joyce. Three unique sessions of inspiring teaching, heartfelt worship, and encouraging behind-the-scenes moments at the Joyce Meyer Conference. Coming to Worcester, Massachusetts, October 5th and 6th with worship by Natalie Grant. Join us. All sessions are free at the Joyce Meyer Conference. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org/conference or call 1-866-SEE-JOYCE.
We're having a car prep day for widows and single moms in the community. Just trying to fill both role of provider and caretaker, and we just wanted to come alongside them and try to help ease that in any way that we possibly could.
Well, I knew the church was going to do the outreach, and my Jeep has a lot of problems. It is all I have to drive me and her to school and to work, and if I didn't have it, I don't know what I would do. They said that they would do like oil changes and they would detail the car and stuff, but I wasn't expecting four new tires. I feel undeserving because I'm nobody. To think that anybody would do that, I can't put in words what it means.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.